Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to another episode of Voices for Excellence. I am your host, Dr. Michael Connor, CEO and founder of the Agile Evolutionary Group and proud host of VFE. And on season three, yes, this episode, we have a Wayne's World, We're Not Worthy type of moment for me, of course, because I have none other than the, I want to put the in front of your name, Dr. Wilson, the Dr. Christy Wilson. Dr. Wilson has just been a steadfast in the education ecosystem. Oh my God, ever since when I was a chief academic officer, superintendent, following her work. She is the past president of AASA, but also when I was following her work, she was a revered superintendent, most recently in 2009, winning the Arizona State Superintendent of the Year, and just found out from Dr. Wilson that she will be launching a book with another one of the Dr. Susan Enfield. How are you, Dr. Enfield? Good to hear that you're doing great and right in this work, this necessary work within the ecosystem for our educators with Dr. Wilson. But we're not worthy. We're not worthy.
Fine.
Now it is time just to introduce Dr. Christy Wilson. Dr. Wilson, how are you?
Doing very well. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Great to have you on, Dr. Wilson. And again, this is just going to be a conversation where a lot of the questions are going to be unpacked so that my viewers be able to take strategies, methods, even new ideas to bring back to their teams or their individual practices. So let's get right to it, Dr. Wilson. And this one is a fun question, right? I always love to ask this question because, again, it kind of gauges to who Dr. Wilson is. And you served as the past president of AASA, awarded the 2019 Arizona State Superintendent of the Year. You are a nationally and internationally acclaimed leader superintendent amongst many of our executive cadres. But for those that do not know Dr. Christy Wilson, what song defines her leadership signature in the ecosystem?
Well, I love that question. And you know, many of you don't know that I may not have grown up, per se, in the 70s. I don't want to age myself too much here by that question, but I love 70s music, okay? So when I thought about this question, I would have to say I love Journey, and I love the song Don't Stop Believin' by Journey. And the reason I like that song so much, Dr. Connor, is because it kind of lends yourself to start thinking about, you know, as we as leaders sort of sometimes come upon sort of tough times, if you will, you know, that song has some upbeat chorus and it kind of keeps us to our spirits alive. And it inspires us to think about songs that, you know, there reminds us there's no shortcuts to success. And I would say that we as leaders, you know, we all know that we have to set examples for others, but we also have to inspire others to go the distance. And I think that extra mile and helping us to remember that you know, you set your goals and you have to go the extra mile to accomplish goals, but a path to achieving goals can oftentimes be long, but as a good leader, we rally the team to help reach them. So I like Journey, and I like that song, Don't Stop Believin'.
That is a classic, Dr. Wilson. Don't Stop Believin' by Journey. That is a that song and Journey, they will never get old. But I love how you created and aligned in these themes around inspiration, right? Going the extra mile. I love the quote that you said, no shortcuts to success, right? And when I think about now, how we have to intentionally transform the education model, both from a systems instruction or structure standpoint, right? That path to achieving goals. I like to say we have to be able to have those intermediate milestones to achieve the long-term goal of that. And that pathology to that vision, to that goal is arduous, right? You have to be adaptive. But again, going back to don't stop believing, we will get that extra mile to reach those goals. But Dr. Wilson, I want to talk about your role at SWYE360. Okay, I want to know what the acronym is. Okay, SWYE 360 Learning. And then I want to move seamlessly into your past work as a past president of AASA. So with regards to SWYE 360 Learning, what are the persisting gaps that continues to stymie the progress of education holistically when you're underpinning that work? And then second, when your work or your work as past president of AASA, what capacities do you see or do you believe are essential for all learning organizations, leaders, and classroom practitioners in what I'm calling the AC stage of education after COVID-19?
Lot to unpack there.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
I want to let you know that SWAY 360, that acronym, it doesn't really stand for anything. It's just SWAY as in, sway into the ecosystem, if you will. So SWAY 360, it's a company that helps districts with a solution to, if you think about it, optimize software usage and learning outcomes and maximize student engagement, if you will. So many, you know how there's a lot of technology software systems out there, especially with AI and curriculum software. A lot of larger districts find themselves in a situation where teachers have a lot of free software systems in place, or perhaps even they pay for software systems. And what SWAY 360 does is they come in and they provide a solution for districts to maximize what kind of systems are in place and build an efficiency system in so that we know what's currently used, what currently is in place. So, and they also provide a focus on real-time data and practical application. So they have a system in place to help districts utilize what technology is working, what's not working, and what kind of real-time return on learning they get. So I serve in a capacity as sort of a senior advisor for them, but I also serve as a learning advisor or a kind of a senior advisor, if you will, for defined learning and audio enhancement. And a couple of companies kind of helping them, just to,
Love Define.
yeah,
Love
in, I
Define
do
Learning.
too.
We both love Define Learning.
Bind is fantastic with project-based learning and deeper learning, career-connected learning. So that's
Out
a
to
little
Andy and
bit
Joe.
of, Andy and Joel are great, and Jeff Anderson and all the people that we've worked with, you and I both, as former superintendents, and they just provide great, I would say, solutions to districts that are, really trying to improve outcomes for kids. So the role as strategic mentor for superintendents who are involved with Learning 2025 with AASA, my role as a strategic mentor is to really help districts who are either currently involved with AASA's Learning 2025 network, or potentially are superintendents who are working with their strategic teams and leaderships. They're potentially thinking about perhaps wanting to get involved with Learning 2025. So, what AASA has done is they have kind of a showcase or a cadre of strategic mentors who we then work with those current school districts who are either lighthouse districts or demonstration districts, and we help them in a variety of ways. We might help them with their path towards future-focused learning, or how they are advancing pathway work with early childhood learning or community engagement strategies, or are all of that, as you might call, ecosystem of advancing student outcomes. So I love your question about, sort of before COVID, after COVID, what are we seeing, and what is sort of what are the gaps? And so I have a great opportunity in that I work with a lot of districts, school superintendents in Arizona, across the country. And so I see some common themes. And what I'm seeing over the past couple of years is there's a couple of things. One is chronic absenteeism, and we have a decline in enrollment, And, part of that started, I would say, before COVID, and then really after COVID. And so, of course, those two issues are really affecting schools and school operations and how we would call how we effectively operate. And so districts and school superintendents and their leadership teams really have to think differently if they're going to operate. I love how you've coined this AC and BC after COVID, especially as we think about teacher and administrative recruitment, retention, and it makes it really difficult to conduct business as usual.
Right.
So that network of support that we provide through Learning 2025 at AASA, we not only work on future-focused support for students, but how does the network support and sustain principal support, superintendent support, all of those things that we're talking about? So, I think that there's all of the issues like chronic absenteeism and declining enrollment and strategies to apply to all of those things. But there's also the fact that we're faced with a decline in the number of people who want to enter the superintendency. And those that are currently superintendents who are faced with the notion that the job itself is not the same job that you and I had when we were practicing superintendents. It's very much more a political job. Kind of gone are the days when we were asked to become more of a teacher, teaching and leading learner
Absolutely.
superintendent. We now are faced with asking our superintendents to become more political focused superintendents. So providing that content, if you will, of how to lead from a superintendent political lens, just as we maybe, I would say, what, 10 or 15 years ago, were focused on providing the content or pedagogy to teach superintendents how to lead from a teaching and learning lens. There's a whole stance that we're coming at for how do we teach our superintendents to really learn how to lead from a political lens.
And Dr. Wilson, I'm glad that you brought that up, right? And I want to have a subset question regarding the political superintendent versus, I like to say, creating the learning organization around how we holistically create coherence in the context of pedagogy, instructional systems, as well as the structures to be able to support those instructional systems. But I always remember, right? And I was at fault when I used to say this when I was a superintendent that I don't want to navigate the politics. I'm not a political superintendent. I want to be able to navigate on how do we improve practitioner effectiveness? How do we transition our principals from being managerial leaders to instructional leaders? How do we now focus the executive role where you are the instructional executive leader, right? But you're right, the dimensions have changed radically and abruptly. Dr. Wilson, again, this might create dissonance with our executive level leaders, but what does that political superintendent look like in the AC stage of education?
Yeah, so it's funny you should say that because I said the same thing. I used to say I'm not a political leader. I was okay at it. I think I figured out how to do it, but that was not my forte. I was a teacher, teaching and leading learner leader. And so I think what it looks like is first and foremost recognition and acknowledgement that the role has changed. Secondly, it looks like a curriculum or a set of skills, dispositions, knowledges around what does it mean to be leading from a political lens. So if you and I are brand new to the role, we are presented with a set of skills, knowledges, and dispositions so that we can look at this. And we can, just as we would the job that entails, this is what's expected to run a governing board meeting. This is what's expected to hire a team, but there's a subset of skills that we could grapple with that is organized around the political framework. And I think Jennifer Chatham out of it slips my mind right now, is has developed this framework, political framework that we can rely on, that can teach our superintendents what this looks like. So there's something there that can teach us what that looks like and feels like. So they have something to ground their knowledge base in. So that's the other thing. And then I think as we build out our networks of practitioners, they have cohorts of people that they can rely on to say, hey, this happened to me. My governing board or my community or whomever is are making decisions that are politically based, and I need expertise and help, mentorship on how to respond. Because we all know, political responses are not the same as non-political responses. So the curriculum teaches you how to deal with those situations.
Phenomenal, Dr. Wilson. And to my audience, Dr. Wilson, we use VFV as an asynchronous tool for professional learning. So it's more andragogy slash that self-directed learning heterogogy. But to my audience, especially to the aspiring superintendents and leaders, please play that response back. Put it into parts or take it apart into parts, put it together, think about specific strategies around this mental model shift where now, yes, what we used to say, I'm not a political superintendent, I'm not focusing on politics, I'm focusing on kids and learning. Now, this is an inevitable entity within the actual position in itself. And I really love the work of the Learning 2025 network out of AASA. I remember, Dr. Wilson, I was a part of developing and designing that initial report. And I'm glad to see that this report is carrying on and also really impacting our leaders today, because you highlighted something, and I want to just focus this in a linear manner that I think is true. And hopefully we can be able to, I like to say, rectify this metric is the retention on superintendents and superintendents that are not coming back into the ecosystem. And some of the most impactful and influential leaders, superintendents, they're just not coming back to the job. And I always say, Dr. Wilson, it's a loss for kids. It's a
Correct.
loss for families. And we can't continue to lose these impactful leaders who are impacting the lives on a macro level. But this is a nice segue into highlighting your work as a superintendent, of course, 2019 Arizona State Superintendent of the Year. But with the dynamic change, right, of many workflow variants, I like to say, within the education model in the after COVID stage, Dr. Wilson, what are the necessary approaches that superintendents need to undergird to align boards, stakeholders, and constituents to a vision where now we have these new demands of education, i.e., being a political leader? What systems level strategy will create this synergistic model within learning organizations?
So I don't have the answers to this. I want to just tell you that right now, because as you know, I served as a superintendent for 11 years and had what I would call a very successful superintendency until I didn't. And I tell you that with all honesty. I had a great community. I had all the awards and accolades that you possibly could have, passed bonds and community levies. Four of them, built two schools. I mean, had everything that you could possibly want. And
Absolutely.
so I'm kind of telling the audience this and you this because my lesson that I would share in vulnerability and humility is that there are some things you really have to pay attention to, because it can come up and get you and bite you if you don't, and it did me. Is that the role, and I served through COVID as well. And I think the role of the superintendency became very political very quickly. And those of us who, and I was guilty of this, those of us who had good relationships in our community, lots of trust, who thought that this won't happen to us. I got this. I have good relationships. that doesn't save you from the I don't know the adjective I would want to use for this, but the just the massive undertaking or takeover and political toll that this can take. So to sort of mitigate that, there are some key things you can pay attention to and you can watch for, that no one can, just not even the very, very best superintendent in the world can survive it. And I think that there's a couple things. One is when you have your cabinet team, your senior leaders, your staff that you depend on and that you're trusting to make good decisions for and with you. There's some things that we could probably do a whole series on with this that you have to be willing to pay attention to what's happening, because as you transition your role into more of a political one, you're sort of changing and you're delegating more, and you have to, I guess I would say, start to really balance that change in your role of becoming less and less of a, I was pretty hands-on, so less of a hands-on leader, because you can't be everything to everyone. So there's some things, there's a balancing act there that you have to pay attention to. The other thing that I think is really important for our newer superintendents, maybe those that weren't 10, 12-year veterans, is this idea of balance and maintaining your own well-being and sleep and exercise and eating well. And because if you don't take care of those things, you're just not in the best state of mind that you can possibly be to make those changes that are necessary. And then the third thing that I think is absolutely detrimental is you have to have a core group of mentors outside of your area. Just a couple that you can really trust and lean on and be vulnerable and brutally honest with that will give you brutally honest feedback. And those are three things that I think are really, really important if you're going to survive.
So important, Dr. Wilson, balance. I think that us as superintendents, right, your second notion you highlighted, personal. That was so hard for me. And I remember my blood pressure during my tenure was 180 over 90, and I was a pretty and I'm pretty healthy, Dr. Wilson.
Right, I know you
And
are.
it was that stress, right? The stress, and I didn't make time for me. And you're so right about mentors, right? And Dr. Wilson, you have mentor and continue to mentor many of our chief executive leaders across this country. And thank you for what you do to my audience. That is so simplistic a way Dr. Wilson identified those three themes, four themes of balance, looking out for your personal self, health, right? Health, and mentors. Mentors is so important for that. Thank you for that small micro but macro level impact, right? A micro
They really
information with
do.
macro impact.
Yeah, they are really simple, but they're so impactful. And
Absolutely.
they're, you just have to commit to those things and for the long term too, not just sort of a, oh, once in a while. You'll get the lasting impact if you make the full commitment to that.
And Dr. Wilson, this leads nicely into the next question, where we know the paradigm has just been absolutely shifting at this radical rate, at this diametric rate from the BC stage of education to now where we're in the AC stage of education, fifth year for that. So speaking on the third point that you highlighted regarding mentors, right? As a mentor to many in this field, what advice? Now, this is just for our aspiring leaders, right? What advice would you give them as they move through this leadership trajectory for impact and influence, albeit to learn to navigate through these unprecedented times? I know you kind of articulated already in previous answers, but go deeper with that because, you know, if I'm an aspiring superintendent, Dr. Wilson, I remember coming up as an assistant superintendent of teaching and learning and as a CAO. I'm going to be honest with you. Right now, if I saw the superintendent role, I don't know if I would want to do that. So we don't want our aspiring leaders to say that. So what advice would you give to them?
Well, it's funny, you know, I just talked to someone yesterday on my way home from a school visit that I'm doing. I'm mentoring some other folks. And she said to me, my current superintendent wants me to be a superintendent, and I don't want that job. And I said, why not? So my first question always is, tell me why you don't want the job. You know, really unpack for me and get really specific. And it's usually, you know, the responses of, well, I see what they do and I see the stress and I don't think I could do that. And I always say back to them, if I can do it, you can do it. That's my standard answer. And I do believe that, you know. The other thing I said to her was, well, tell me your perception of the job. So I listen to that and then I say, well, what do you want the job? What do you think the job would be like? And in this particular case, this person articulated to me a very clear response that I interpreted as a superintendent that would be in classrooms, that would be in with kids, that would a change maker, that would be very focused on student academic achievement options, would be interfacing with the community, fiscally responsible. And there was a lot of excitement about that. To be fair, the current superintendent is focused on building schools and very much so has delegated those other responsibilities to her. So I walked her through a scenario in which you can be very impactful and very good at both. And we walk. So I'm telling you the story because I think that sometimes people have a picture of what a superintendent does, and it's not always accurate. And it's usually a negative picture. So I, through my coaching and mentoring, I usually first try to get them to have an open mind and explore what the possibility of the job could be, because I loved being a superintendent. I thought it was the greatest job ever. Until there were times, and you probably agree that there was stress and there were late days and there were late nights where we had, you know, not every job is perfect, but for the most part, I loved it. And so
Absolutely.
my opportunity to sort of help people to understand that yes, there is some stress. Yes, it's political, but there is a framework for the political part. There are people like you and I and others who can teach them and help them through the political aspects of it. And it will only get better if more of us come together and work through the issues. And that there's an opportunity to move forward, and we need these leaders to step up and say, yes, we can do this.
Absolutely. Yes, we can, right, Dr. Wilson? I always, I get a myriad of calls every day, every week, you know, saying, "Doc, I want to do this. What do you think?" I was like, "You have to do." I was like, "You have to." It's one of the best jobs I've ever had. The long job, the long nights, the weekends, right? But it was worth it because it was for our community. Thank you for bringing that up, Dr. Wilson, right? Because there's too many negative connotations that have been tied to the position, but how you systematically unpack that in such a way of saying, wow, yes, I want to go back into it, or yes, I want to be able to do this, is so foundational and important because it just seems like just too many, I mean, too many leaders, Dr. Wilson, that I just respect at a high level. I've just done with it because of just every political thing that can occur with that. So thank you, Dr. Wilson.
I really think the job is what you want the job to be. And with the political skills that we can teach them, it can be what we want it to be. And we're all teachers at heart. So I always looked at board members as students.
Yes. Dr. Wilson, the reason I'm laughing is because I always used to say this, right? I had my classroom of nine. Core instruction is around all of the policies and all of the specific initiatives we're implementing. And then there's the differentiated instruction that is personalized to a one-on-one. So yes, you are absolutely right.
I'm trying not to be condescending because I mean we're just teaching them how this works.
That's governance, right? Because again, we have to build capacity to be able to support the
Saying it nicer than me.
No, it's so good with that. You're absolutely right. Andragogy, capacity building, governance, capacity building, so important. But I want to say this, Dr. Wilson, congratulations to you and Dr. Susan Enfield for launching
Thank
your
you.
book in 2020, spring of 2025. So
March.
March of 2025. So listen, Dr. Wilson, this is the first, right, on VFE. I want you to be able to now just, what is the book about? What is the, I don't even know the title, but I know it has something to do with leadership and impact of practitioner leadership as well. So please just give us
Okay, we'll just give you
something about it.
a little I guess in Bookland this is a plug. So, we launched it in March on purpose because in March 2025 will be the 5-year anniversary of COVID.
Oh, wow.
And can you believe that? 5 years.
Unbelievable. Goes by fast, right?
Goes by fast. So what Susan Enfield and I did is we talked to each other about the fact that no story. There'd been a few articles, a few papers here and there, but no comprehensive historical review, comprehensive book had been written about what happened and how it impacted superintendents, COVID, how we all navigated COVID. And so the book is we interviewed about 50 superintendents from the West Coast to the East Coast, from big districts to small districts, all over. So it's a very big, nice sample. And the book is really about really we, it's honoring the work that superintendents did to hold their communities together, but it's also a comprehensive look at sort of, if you will, all the things that we said we were going to do, in teaching and learning. Some of the highlights that happened, some of the things that didn't happen, taking a comprehensive, again, historical look at, who was the first to close, why did they close, who opened, stayed open, what it did to superintendents' state of mind. There's 8 chapters, and so it's again honoring the work, but also taking a historical approach. And so here's the title: On Fire, Under Fire, or Fired Superintendents in the Pandemic.
I love it. I love it, Dr. Wilson. Listen, I cannot wait to read it because during that time, I was a superintendent as well during COVID. So now I can't wait, especially if it's coming from you and Dr. Enfield. Oh my God. Yes. So one more time for the VFE audience. What is the name of the title?
On Fire, Under Fire, or Fired Superintendents in the Pandemic.
March 2025, everybody, please go out and support Dr. Wilson as well as Dr. Enfield
We'll
too.
launch it at AASA in New Orleans.
Even better, in New Orleans, it's going to be a big party with
Big party.
the
Yeah.
launch. So you heard it first on VFE. Congratulations with
So
that
much,
again,
Michael.
and thank you. This will be great for any superintendent, past, present, future superintendent to be able to read. I know there's some little nuggets in there about teaching and learning because
Lessons learned after every chapter and takeaways.
amazing. Now, Dr. Wilson, last question. Now, I always give this preface before I ask the question because I want to try to limit you. And again, the key word in there is try to limit you to 3 words.
Okay.
Now, nobody ever listens to me, but I have to say it.
Okay, I'm a good student.
But just go on. Just go on.
All right.
But what 3 words do you want today's audience to leave the VFB podcast regarding leadership in an unvice world. And what I mean by unvice is uncertain, volatile, intersectionality, complex, and exponential to achieve innovation and excellence in the AC stage of education.
That's such a good question. Well, I'm going to go back sort of to the very first question that you asked me about my song. What song do I like about leadership? And, leadership can be a long journey and you want to keep believing. And you always have goals. I mean, leaders have goals, right? So I think for your audience and for you, I would hope that you would walk away feeling inspired. That you would potentially, learn something and maybe a snippet here or a snippet there. And I had, maybe the second word would maybe have enriched you with something, some sort of knowledge or, something. You've walked away feeling enriched and, maybe influence would be the third word. Influenced you with some sort of knowledge, some sort of creativity in my thinking. I've got a lot of different experiences and I touch a lot of areas and folks that I come in contact with. So I try to summarize it in a way that I find will be most helpful to people who are either just entering the profession or potentially on their way out. But I know that we're all tied by common themes because we're in it for kids.
Absolutely. And Dr. Wilson, I can tell you this episode and your current and past work has always inspired me. Listening to you talk in a variety of ways, including today, you've always enriched me and, of course, influenced my practices. Dr. Christy Wilson, thank you for coming on VFE. To my audience, again, there's a lot of leadership nuggets that are in there. I had got about 3 pages of notes from Dr. Wilson. So please use this episode to go back, listen to each question, and interrogate it intentionally because, again, it will influence your practices. But Dr. Wilson, for my audience, if they want to reach out to you, how would they be able to get in contact with you?
They can reach out to me through my email. So it's a pretty simple one. It's just my first and last name. So it's Dr. Dr. and then Kristi Wilson, the number 5 at gmail.com. That's the easiest way to get me. I'm also on X, and that's a pretty easy one too. It's the same email. And that's the easiest way. Or if they want to go through you, they could probably get me that way too. But I'm always available to help others in the sphere of leadership. And I'll be at AASA. So for those that are following along your podcast, I'm always at AASA as a past president. So.
Absolutely. And Dr. Wilson, you continue to mentor leaders now. I mean, they just reach out to you and you're like, come on, I'll take you.
That's true. Yeah, that is true. So.
Dr. Wilson, again, thank you for coming on VFE. I will see you definitely at AASA, but hopefully in some type of think tank or something that's going on across the country before then. But again, your presence have definitely been felt on VFE. Truly, truly appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be with you. I follow your podcast and listen to your guest speakers all the time. Wealth of information. So we appreciate it.
And Dr. Wilson, I'm going to take that nugget, that bite right there, and just play it all the time. That's going to be my marketing promo. Thank you, Dr. Wilson. And on that note, onward and upward, everybody. Have a great evening.